Hi, I'm Renee Champagne.
And I'm Rhonda Sestak.
Please join me and my sister as we discuss horrifying crimes, urban legends, and spooky locations throughout Oklahoma and beyond.
You are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.
Welcome to Route 66 Fear Fix. I'm Renee Champagne.
And I'm Rhonda Sestak.
And today... It's October, so we get to finally talk about one of our favorite things ever.
Halloween!
Wow.
It's exciting.
So of all the scary movies that have ever been made, Rhonda and I absolutely love the Halloween movies. I don't know why. We just have always loved them.
It's Michael Myers. Let's see. Oh, mystery of Michael Myers.
I don't know. It's one of the first scary movies I remember watching. Of course, it came out in 1978, so probably before I was born a little bit. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know anything about the Halloween movies, I don't know what's wrong with you or why your parents, you know, didn't care for you enough to share the movies with you. But so Halloween is set on Halloween night.
It actually starts the day before Halloween.
That's true, but I'm going back to when everything first started.
Oh,
so
yeah.
On Halloween night in 1963, a 6-year-old Michael Myers goes into his home and goes up the stairs, right?
Right, and he's dressed like a clown.
Yes,
envision this. The camera work is such that it looks like the camera has put on a mask of a clown. And so you're looking at the...
You're watching everything through Michael's eyes.
Yes, which is really cool, too.
So he goes up the stairs, and when this movie opens, it was unique camera work for the time. I forget exactly what it's called, but it's something... John Carpenter directed it. It's some kind of camera work that he came up with. He kind of pans around the outside of the house, and we can see Michael, you know, entering his sister's room, who had just... done dirty things with her boyfriend. And she's sitting, as we all do, topless, brushing her hair at the mirror.
Because I always do that.
And so we see him walk up to her. We're looking, like Rhonda said, through his mask. We can see through his eyes. He walks up to her and he stabs her to death.
And she looks up and she goes, Michael!
Yeah, that's a really good impression too. So he stabs his sister to death. His sister's name is Judith Myers. Mm-hmm. She at the time was supposed to be 15 years old. So that's the opening scene of Halloween, and that's where all of this begins.
Yes, and that's where the greatness of Michael Myers comes from.
He is the greatest horror movie character of all time.
And as we're sitting here talking to you, Renee has purchased a Michael Myers candy dish that's looking over us as we do this.
I have. And, you know, Michael is called The Shape in the movie.
Yes.
That's how he's credited. And I've been eating so much candy, Rhonda has referred to me as The Shape. Because I'm just going to become a giant shape. Anyway, okay, so after Michael kills his sister, he is sent away to a mental hospital called...
Smith's Grove
Sanatorium.
Sanatorium.
So he goes to Smith's Grove Sanatorium.
See, you got much messed it up too.
Okay, so apparently he just sits in there for 15 years, right?
Staring at people.
Just staring at people with the darkest eyes, the eyes of the devil.
Evil.
Yes. So he sits there for 15 years and... apparently, he remembers he's got a tiny baby sister still living.
And it's time to break out.
I guess she's old enough to be killed now. Okay, so after 15 years of being in the sanitarium, he escapes. And in the movie, it is pouring rain. Mm-hmm. And there is his doctor while he's in the sanitarium. His name is Dr. Loomis.
Yes.
Dr. Sam Loomis. And Dr. Loomis has a nurse named Marion. And when Michael escapes, we see him jump on top of her car, you know, and it's some big old giant 1970s car.
Station wagon.
Was it a station wagon?
It was a station wagon.
Okay. So he, like, it makes this noise like, he jumps onto the hood of the car.
And reaches in and grabs her little nurse's hat. Yes. And pulling and gets her out of the car.
Yes, he gets her out of the car. And then he drives away because sometime when he's in the sanitarium, he learns how to drive a vehicle.
Yes, yes.
So it's really amazing. And we laugh and poke fun, but we're really crazily obsessed with this movie.
Yes. And we also should point out, we say that he knew he had a little sister out there, but technically in this very first film, we did not know they were related.
This is true.
So you just thought he was crazy. Yes. Well, which kind of is, but you know, still.
He's our hero. Anyway, okay, so he goes, this whole thing takes place in Haddonfield. So when he first murdered his sister, he murdered her at 43 Lampkin Lane in Haddonfield, Illinois. So he escapes from the sanitarium and his doctor, Dr. Sam Loomis, rushes to Haddonfield to warn the town that Michael has escaped because for whatever reason, he thinks Michael's going to go back there. I don't know what would make him think that Michael would go back there. Was he sitting there like drawing pictures of Haddonfield?
I don't know.
I don't know what would have made him know that's where he was going.
If he went into a sanitarium, whatever, I can't say the word.
Mental hospital.
He went into the mental hospital when he was six. Maybe it's because that's the only thing he ever known.
So he thought he would just go home?
Yeah.
Kill some more people?
Yeah, because wasn't that the tagline the night he came home? I believe it was, so.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, I think it was.
So.
Okay, so Michael heads back to Haddonfield. Do we know where Smith's Grove was at? Is there a town called Smith's Grove, Illinois?
No, there's not a town called Haddonville, Illinois.
Haddonfield.
I have a hard time talking. I know what I'm talking about. It's just not coming out the way I want it to. I'm too excited.
So he goes back to Haddonfield, and Dr. Loomis has warned everyone, and they just think he's crazy. They're like, oh, okay, this is, you're overreacting just a little bit, you know.
And on the way to Haddonfield, Michael had to stop off at the gas station so he could kill somebody to get a jumpsuit so he looks normal.
That's true, because he escaped in the hospital gown.
So, just FYI,
mechanics beware. He had to get some. He had to get an outfit. He did not, let's correct that. He did not stop off to get some. He stopped off
to get an outfit. He went shopping in his own weird way.
He murdered someone and stole his clothes. Okay, so Michael finally gets to Haddonfield. Okay, so in this time where he has escaped and all this stuff, we're also following the storyline of Laurie Strode. Okay, Laurie Strode is played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and this was her very first film. And I think we read somewhere that John Carpenter, the director, wanted to pay homage to
Alfred Hitchcock in the most ultimate way. And Jamie Lee Curtis is Janet Leigh's daughter. Daughter, who, if you don't know who that is the girl that got killed in the shower scene of Psycho in Alfred Hitchcock's movie. So he wanted to pay homage to him. Okay, whatever. He wanted Jamie Lee Curtis in the film, and that's why she's there.
Yes. So was her mom known as the Scream
We are so excited. We can't talk, right?
So was her mom known as the Scream Queen, or was she later known as the Scream Queen, or were they both?
I think they both were for their time, because that is the ultimate thing you remember of Janet Leigh is screaming
in
the shower.
Yeah, when they open the shower and you're...
Yes, and Jamie Lee Curtis, when starring in Halloween, she went on to star in a couple more scary movies. I can't remember. It was like Prom Night and Territory or something like that. She had a few other ones, and she became known as the Scream Queen because she was in different ones.
Right.
So, and she's, you know, known for Halloween above everything.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she's been in a lot of movies now, but yes, I think she will. It always goes back to Halloween. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we follow Laurie Strode, and Laurie is kind of a nerdy book girl, you know.
Shy,
very nerdy. She makes good grades. Basically, she was me, but prettier.
I don't know about that.
So, you know, all of her friends tease her. Her friends are kind of slutty and...
Yeah.
And they tease her about being
wild and she's prudish.
And, yeah. And she has a crush on a boy. I think you said his name was Brad.
Yes.
And so they call and teaser about Brad and all this
poor
stuff.
Poor girl, she gets teased about everything, and all she wants to do is babysit and get good grades.
So her friends, you know, they've got dates or whatever. Well, one of them does. Has a Linda. Her friends are Annie, Linda, and Linda's boyfriend, Bob.
Yes.
Right. So Linda and Bob.
Oh, no. And there is another boy, Linda's boyfriend, Paul.
Oh, okay. Paul. Yeah. And
totally.
And if you've seen Halloween, you know they say totally throughout the entire movie.
Especially the Linda girl. She totally likes that word.
Totally. Anyway, so while her friends are doing their fun stuff, which I don't know if Annie's really doing fun stuff because...
Annie's babysitting across the street from where Lori babysits that night.
All right, so Lori has a babysitting job that night. She's going to babysit Tommy and Lindsay.
No, Annie was babysitting Lindsay.
Okay, so this is my favorite movie and I don't even know how it
goes. We're just too excited.
So Lori is babysitting Tommy. Okay, and I remember in the movie, though, Tommy was watching some kind of scary movie, too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was like very scared of the boogeyman.
Yes,
very scared of him.
And so he was worried about the boogeyman being in the house and all that stuff, and Lori tried to calm him down and took him upstairs. And
did all the things that you would normally do babysitting on Halloween. They carved pumpkins, made popcorn, were watching movies and stuff. And then Annie, who was babysitting Lindsay, you know, she is a wild child, so she was trying to figure a way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she conned poor Lori into babysitting Lindsay for her for a while so she could meet up with Paul.
Totally.
Oh, Paul. That was her little song. She's like, oh, Paul.
That's right.
Like that. So, anyway, Lindsay went over to hang out with Tommy. And, you know, they're about, what, 8, maybe?
I would say. Probably about 8.
Yeah.
So, Annie never even made it to Paul. Did Paul come over?
No.
Okay, so Annie's doing laundry.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, we need to rewind, don't we? Before Lindsay went to Lori's to be babysat, she had spilt oil or something from the popcorn butter down the front of her.
That's right.
And she had to go out and start laundry for it. And during this time, Lindsay's family owned a German Shepherd. And it kept barking and stuff. And Annie was hollering at, stop barking, you stupid dog, or whatever, you know. And
totally stop barking.
And yeah, totally, because Paul is waiting for her. Oh, Paul. My Paul. Or something. Anyway, Lindsay, I will have to say, is very annoyed with Annie. She doesn't really care what Annie does. She's a little put off by her. But
yeah.
Anyway, so Annie went out to their washer and dryer, which was out in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's a detached garage. A garage.
Detached garage. Whoa. We've suddenly become foreign. Anyway, so she goes out there. Go ahead.
I'm getting myself all...
Well, she goes out there and she's doing laundry. I don't remember. Is that when she gets killed?
Well, she gets stuck in the laundry room, remember?
That's right. Okay.
And she couldn't get out, and she's hollering, and of course they're playing...
Lindsay!
Yeah, she's hollering for Lindsay, and they're playing, you know, the kind of music or something that makes you think something's going to happen, because you know Michael Myers is around there.
But no one else does, because the town thought Dr. Loomis was crazy.
Which, we have jumped across a few things to get to this night. Okay, the town didn't believe anything, but all day long, just put a pause button on Annie in the laundry room for a second. And let's go back a few hours. All day long, Lori had been seeing this guy all day long. Mind you, she doesn't know who he is, but she's seen him in the station wagon. She saw him hiding behind a bush. She saw him standing across the road while she was sitting in class. She's seen him all day long.
But we have to rewind even more because Annie's father is the sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
And in the middle of the day, the pharmacy or something got broken into.
Yes.
And Michael, who's already dressed in his mechanic uniform, finds...
A William Shatner
mask that had been painted white. Because I don't think I don't think Michael did arts and crafts. I don't know if he was like, look at this Captain Kirk mask. I'm going to paint it white. It'll look better. Anyway, so he finds this mask. What the mask was supposed to be of back then, I don't know. But in reality, it was, you know, the film had created this character mask from a William Shatner mask. They just painted it white.
Captain Kirk.
Yes.
Off of Star Trek.
So, but Michael finds this mask and he steals it. And, yes. And so the sheriff is called and, you know, Annie and Lori, I think, are walking home from school during that time.
They're driving.
Oh, they're driving. Okay.
Remember they were smoking pot.
Oh, there was, well, not Lori.
No, she did take
did she? Puff.
She did.
Oh, Lori.
Yes.
It's all downhill
and
from there.
And this really smart cop, when they stopped, did not smell it. Because they waved their hands real quick. And they could not smell pot anymore.
So,
but okay.
If you teenagers are out there and you don't want your parents to know that you're smoking weed, just wave your hands around.
Go away.
I realize it sounds like Rhonda and I are smoking pot right now, but we are not. Okay.
We're just giddy. This is the one we've been looking for.
I ate too much candy. I am the shape. Anyway, okay, so now we can fast forward back, right? So
yes.
Michael, like Rhonda said, Lori had been seeing this man dressed in a blue mechanic uniform and a white mask, like, and he like peeked around from the bushes and looked at her. She saw him across the street
anybody.
At school. I mean, that's not strange at all, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
And remember when they were walking home, though, Annie was like, hey, stop, because he was driving a station wagon down the street and he slammed on his brakes. And they were like, oh my goodness, you know, they were scared. But anyway, so if you happen to see around this Halloween time a strange man peering into your windows wearing a white mask, it's probably good to go ahead and just call somebody.
Yes. Let them know.
Okay, so we can unpause Annie. Annie gets killed, basically.
Well, she's stuck. She's stuck. You think she's going to get killed in the laundry room, but she doesn't because she's hauling for Lindsay. Lindsay finally shows up. Let's her out of the laundry room. She goes back inside. That's when Paul calls and says she was going to go meet him or pick him up or something. And that's when she calls Lori and asks Lori if she would watch Lindsay. So she walks Lindsay across the street to Lori so Lori could watch both kids and she could run off with Paul. Anyway, so Annie comes back across the street after getting rid of Lindsay. She comes back across the street and goes into the detached garage from the house. This is important because obviously there's a lot of stuff that can happen in the garage when the house is not attached. Just letting you know.
Buyer beware.
She gets in the car and, you know, she's singing her, oh, Paul, my Paul song or whatever she's singing. Trying to start the car. Mind you, she's only in.
She's pantless.
She is pantless. She has like a poncho on.
It's not a poncho. Isn't it a long,
no,
a man shirt?
She has a man shirt, but she has a poncho on over it.
Oh, okay.
She's sitting in the front seat trying to start this car and stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear the, yeah, and she's gone. She did. She be gone. Michael slits her throat.
I don't remember a poncho.
Yeah, she has a poncho on.
Blocked the poncho out.
She blocked it out, but she had one over the man's white shirt that she was wearing.
Okay. I'm going to wear that to work tomorrow. See if anybody notices.
Go pantless with
it's
that.
Pantsless Tuesday.
I think she had green socks on, too, but I'm not sure.
That's a really good memory. Gosh, I haven't seen this movie in forever.
It was very unflattering.
Yeah. Okay, so then the focus is going to shift to Lori, right?
No.
Oh. Just kidding.
Well, I mean, it may look at Lori and, you know, a little bit about that. I mean,
oh, Linda and Bob.
Linda and Bob come.
Yeah.
Would you like to handle Linda and Bob?
Well, I don't know. I know Linda and Bob are doing dirty things.
They show up in their little 70s van thing. It's like
totally.
Totally rat. I don't even know if she says rat. She just says totally. Totally.
Rhonda straight from the 70s, so she just threw in the rat on her own. Okay, the only part I remember, honestly, about Linda and Bob is after they do their dirty things in the bed, Linda wants a beer or something like that.
Yes, yes. Oh, and Bob wears glasses. This is need to know. You need to know about the glasses.
Bob wears glasses. Gigantic 70s glasses.
Yes.
Okay, so Bob goes to get this beer, and then what Linda thinks is Bob. Well, I should say, Bob gets murdered.
Yes.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
With a large butcher knife.
Yes, but Linda, because this house is so huge, but it's not really huge, hears nothing.
She hears nothing. She's just waiting for her beer with her blonde pigtails.
Yes.
I forget the lady who played PJ something played her. PJ Souls. Okay. So, Linda's waiting for her beer, and she doesn't find it odd at all when Bob, air quotes, comes back with a white sheet over his head with the eyes cut out.
And the glasses on over top of the sheet.
Yes. And he appears to be larger than he was before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess Linda doesn't find this odd at all, and she's like, Bob.
Where's my beer?
Where's my beer, Bob? Come on, Bob. You know, 'cause that's how everyone talks.
Yes.
And I might add, I guess Michael really probably would have been. He's probably the Martha Stewart of his day.
Yeah, well, he's
painting
really
masks.
Good at arts and crafts.
He's cutting out, he's making ghost costumes.
He is. He can set scenes up too, really. I mean, let me tell you, if you've watched this movie, I don't know where he found the time. I don't.
No.
Because for being locked up since he was 6 years old, he has a good grasp of home decorating.
And after he does his handiwork, he tilts his head to the right to see.
Yes.
Well, would you look at that? Mm-hmm. I've done such a great job. Anyway, so Linda gets killed.
Yes.
Now we shift our focus to Lori.
Yes.
We're allowed to go to Lori now.
Yes.
Okay, you talk about Lori. I haven't seen this in a long time.
Okay. Well, Lori's over there being the good girl that she is. You know, carving pumpkins.
I love carving
and
pumpkins.
She had knitting needles there too. I don't know. She was knitting a sweater, but she was watching movies with the kids eating popcorn, and the kids were all afraid of the boogeyman. And
well, they were watching. Were they watching It or The Thing? They were watching one of those.
I don't remember
things.
Which one they were watching.
It was a black and white scary movie.
Yeah. Because this was the 70s. I mean, color
there was
hadn't
color
been around,
in
that, around for that long. Anyway.
This movie was in the 70s and it was color.
Anyway.
Giggly.
So, Tommy really freaked out over the boogeyman. Kids at school had teased him about it that day. He really...
Boogeyman.
And he did smash his pumpkin on...
He dropped it when somebody pushed him down.
He dropped it, yes, but it was right in front of Michael Myers. Which, I don't know.
No one saw it.
Nobody thought it was odd, but
okay. Oh, man. I hope kids these days are a little more in tune to their surroundings.
Well, Tommy kind of was, because he's like, after Annie got killed and he looked out the front window, he saw Michael Myers, the boogeyman. Okay, and so he ran over and said, oh my gosh, the boogeyman, Lori, the boogeyman. She goes over there, and of course, Michael Myers isn't there. So she's like, there's no such thing as the boogeyman, even though she's seen him 3 or 4 times that day. There's no such thing.
Captain Kirk.
It's Captain Kirk, the boogeyman. No. Anyway, they go on, and I think she told him it was time for bed, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And she,
didn't she check under the bed and stuff for him? And
yeah, checked everything. But, you know, she checked everything, put him to bed, but came back down. Oh, and then she decides she's going to go across the street and see what's going on with Annie, because Annie hadn't picked up Lindsay.
Right. And that's a bad babysitter to leave all the children alone.
Yes. So she leaves them in the house sleeping, and she walks across the street, shyly, reserved, you know, just doing the good girl thing, going over there and check on her friend and see how come she's not doing her responsible thing and watching the kids she's supposed to be babysitting.
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah. So she gets over there and, you know, opens the door. And of course, everything's perfect. Michael didn't touch the downstairs.
Maybe he cleaned up.
Yeah, he kind of cleaned up. You know, I remember
he didn't really
before
clean.
We before we go upstairs. You have to remember Annie was killed in the detached garage from the house, and the what was the boyfriend? Bob. Bob was killed in the kitchen of the house.
Is this the same house Linda and Bob are over there too?
Yes.
Okay.
Same house.
We didn't tell you all that, so.
So, I guess Lori looked around. I'm not sure if she looked all through the downstairs or she just headed upstairs. It could be because the script said go upstairs. I don't know.
She didn't see Bob's head pinned to the wall.
No, because I'm telling you, Michael knows how to decorate a house.
That's true.
She went upstairs and she opens the door to where the bed where
Linda
was at, and I believe it did it not have the tombstone of his sister there? Because
yes.
Sometime during the day, he had time to go to the graveyard, pick up the tombstone, shove it in the station wagon, get up there, and when he went upstairs, he had time to get Annie's body, put it back on the bed, and put the tombstone at the head of the bed, okay? It was all set up. And I don't know why, but when Lori saw it, she goes, oh my gosh, falls back into a cupboard and it opens up and Linda drops down. See, he did a lot of stuff. I'm not sure where Bob was. Where did he fall out of? He was up there somewhere too.
He was in a closet too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He had them all set up. And man, I'm just
tombstones, I would imagine, are heavy.
I would think so, but he had time to get this done and he got it all up there. Well, of course, she's kind of freaked out by this home decorating decision. She backed up into the hall. And, of course, you always turn your back on a murder scene. Always. So when she turned her back contemplating life sitting there, Michael jumps out and scares her and then stabs her in the shoulder. And did she fall over or fall down?
He didn't stab her in the shoulder. He, like, cut down her arm, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he cut her shirt, like, kind of slid
right,
down her arm.
Right. But did she fall from the second floor, roll down? Or?
I think she did fall.
Because somehow
stairs,
she
yes.
got a bum ankle. She twisted or broke it or something like that.
Yes, we don't really find that out until the second one, right?
Well, yeah, you do, because she's limping across the street back
right.
to the house.
That's right.
And when she gets over there, she's hollering. And because these kids sleep like rocks, she's obviously did not take a key and locked the door.
Who locks the door if the kids are asleep?
She did, but I don't know what happened to the key. Probably in the fear of, you know, going to the house.
I'm cleaning your house next.
She's beating on the door. Michael. Let me in, Michael. No. Tommy, Lindsay, let me in. She's hollering and stuff. I think, did she throw flower pots up there to the second window to wake him up, too?
I don't know.
And mind you, Michael does not run. Michael strolls.
But he gets to places really quickly.
He does.
Like
so
teleports. I think he teleports.
As she's heading on this door, Michael's leisurely walking like, yo, dude, hey, babe, what's up? I'm coming to kill
I'm
you.
I'm totally going to kill you.
So she's screaming, and finally the kids get up, and they get down there just in the nick of time because it looks like Michael might have picked up his steps a little bit right there at the end. She gets in the door, locks it real fast, makes the kids go hide upstairs, go run upstairs and hide. And she sits on the floor beside her knitting box. And she, you know, she's sitting there contemplating life again.
And there's all this time to do that.
There is. And lo and behold, she notices there's a window open because, of course, the wind is just blowing this curtain into the wind, you know. Yeah. So as she's sitting there contemplating life, thinking, I left the window open.
Because when did she open it?
I don't know. Michael jumps out from behind the couch and starts to strangle. I don't think he
was. Yeah, he was strangling her.
He was strangling her. And look, but she had her knitting needle. And she used, she was very resourceful. She used the knitting needle and she stabbed him in the neck. Mm-hmm. And got away. And of course, if you're going to run away from him, you're going to run upstairs in a house you can't get out of. So she ran upstairs. And the kids are hiding somewhere upstairs. So she thinks, I feel like I'm telling this story all by myself.
No, you're fine. I haven't seen it in so long. You're making me laugh. I can't even talk.
She ran upstairs. And if I'm going to pick a hiding place in the house, I am going to go to the closet.
with the slats.
Little closet doors on them that you could see through them if you really want to, or make a move up and down to see it. You know, but I'm going to get in there and make sure that I am armed with nothing.
A hanger.
Well, the hanger came after. He knocked him down.
Well, maybe that's a good weapon.
Anyway, so she hides in there, and of course, Michael comes up there and that doesn't even go to the kids' room because he's like, this woman's hiding in this closet up here, I know.
And I have a knitting needle too. I've knitted a sweater.
Yeah. So he goes and looks like he's looking around in the room, looks in this, I would assume is the master bedroom.
Yes.
Looking around, and then I'm not sure what made him go to the closet, or he just thought, yeah, that's where she's at, and he goes over there.
Nowhere else to hide. I mean,
yeah,
under the bed.
Oh, she tried to, I don't know, make something to hold that little door, flimsy door shut, and he's like shaking it, so of course she starts freaking out, and he's like tearing the slats off the...
And he just punches his arm through it.
Yeah, and so a hanger falls down, and she's like, oh, I have a weapon now, and she undoes it, because she has time. You know how easy the wire hangers are to undo. Yeah,
they're so simple. You don't need pliers or anything. No.
But she got it undone, and she poked him in the eye.
Like blinded him. Like she would have blinded him.
Yeah, a normal person. Yes.
A normal person, mm-hmm. But he's okay.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
But I believe he immediately falls down and acts like he's dead, right?
Yes.
And so she comes out in the hallway and contemplates life again against the banister and
calls to the kids.
Yes, yeah. She does. And calls to the kids and says, and of course kids come running out screaming and stuff. And she's like, run down the road to I forget whose house or something, but go get help, you know.
Go at least. Quick, do as I say.
Yes, and she sent them away. And then she continued to contemplate life.
With her back to the man.
To the man.
Yes, that just tried to kill her.
And then as she leisurely tries to stand up again, you know, because she's got her wits about her. Michael sets up, gets up, and starts choking her again, or grabs her and starts choking her. And all of a sudden, because Dr. Loomis was strolling down this particular road.
And thought,
where could this person be?
Yeah.
And then he sees the two kids running, screaming, and he's like, I'll go check that house out. So he walks down there, and he gets there in the nick of time to shoot.
Yeah, he shoots Michael.
And Michael stuns and backs up.
But who's struggling with him first? This is where we see Michael's mask pulled up. We haven't seen Michael's face at all until this point.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis grabs the mask, and you kind of...
And, I mean, for Rhonda and I, this was one of the most exciting moments. I think we rewound it to watch to see his face. Mm-hmm. And to me, it looked like he had a swelled eye. And of course, he should have been blind, but... Yes. Anyway, and the guy that played him at that point, so whose face do we actually see? We see Tony Moran.
Yes.
And this is a dark-headed guy. We should add, there's several different people that played Michael throughout the history of the Halloween movies.
Yes.
But the face that we actually see at this point in time, his name is Tony Moran.
Right.
So, I think that's the only time he played him, was to show his face.
Yes. We only see his face one other time in the series of Halloween movies, and that was in the fifth one. When she was getting the tear off his eye when he was
He looked crying. Like he had freckles.
Yeah. But that's another day, that movie. But anyway, she struggled with him, pushed the mask up. We got a brief shot of his face, and then he had time to, you know, put his mask back down. Loomis shot him, stunned him, made him go back into the bedroom.
The balcony, off the balcony.
Well, he shot him into the master bedroom.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the doors were open to the balcony because everybody leaves their doors open. Mm-hmm. So he shot him again, and he fell off the... He shot him, like, a few times. It wasn't just, like, twice.
Like six times.
Yeah, he shot him. He fell off the balcony. Loomis went to make sure that Lori was okay. And then, the end of the movie, he walks over to the balcony and looks down.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. That's the first movie. Now, I know we've made fun of it.
We have, but we really
It is
really
a really
love this movie.
Good movie. You just have to bypass all the stuff he was able to do in such short amount of time.
Yes. But it's like you said, though. What were you saying? That John Carpenter wanted everyone to be... No one to be able to relate to him. Yes. Well, I can't relate to being stabbed in the eye and being all right.
Or shot six times.
No.
Stabbed in the neck with a sewing needle.
No. I can't. A sewing needle.
Whatever. I can't relate to...
A knitting needle. Knitting.
I can't relate to either one of us.
They're very different, though. Oh, I've got a pain in my neck. They're very different. One will kill you, one will.
But anyway.
Okay, so sorry we had to cut that short right there. We ran out of time just a little bit. Thank you for listening. Next time we're going to discuss Halloween 2 and 3, I believe, or maybe 4, 5, and 6. We haven't decided. But this whole month of October, we'd like to discuss the Halloween movies because those are our favorite things ever. So thank you for listening. And again, you're listening to Route 66 Beer Fix.